inside my head. Before I reached 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on I go.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Radio Show. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Jeff Poor. I am the publisher of the Trustful Tribune. And we are here on FM Talk 106.5. We will not delay on bringing in our next guest. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth joins us now. Lieutenant Governor, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Good to be on the show. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I appreciate you coming on. I don't think I even reached out to Catherine until Thursday or Friday, and she was able to make this happen. And I appreciate it, Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, no, glad to come on. Always good to be talking about conservative policies and ideas and to talk about how Alabama's doing. So great to be on with you.
I guess we will start with the calls, for lack of a better word, that you have been championing for well over a year, very vocally, and you have pushed it. I would say it was one of the two big topics last year coming out of your office, the grocery tax cut, which you were successfully able to shepherd through the legislature. But the other big topic is school choice. And now the governor seems to have come on board, Lieutenant Governor, after being pretty quiet about that. She now seems to be on board with full school choice. What are your thoughts, as we're still several months away from the next session? How is that going to play out?
Yeah, I think first, obviously was excited about getting the grocery tax done. You missed that. That's right. Going to certainly help everybody with the cost of, goods going up, and we're going to continue to find ways to cut taxes. That's important. Now, on school choice, I think it's the right thing to do. I think when you look at it, there's a national movement to make sure we give parents the ability to decide what's best for their child, not necessarily a zip code or what school district you're zoned for. And I think with choice, you give parents the idea to know and decide what's best for their child. And I think that's real important. And I think that's something that's, slowed back America and certainly slowed back Alabama. And if you look at it, it works. The data backs up that, states that have school choice, test scores have gone up, workforce employment's gone up. And so when you look at that, certainly, it works. And so, I just look at what other states have done. I look at what I believe is the right thing to do. And I think school choice is the right thing for Alabama. And, you mentioned Governor Ivey get on board. That's a big deal. That's going to be helpful. And to have her pushing and using the mantle of the governor's office. And, I'm encouraged. I think we can certainly get something done next session that will allow people the opportunity to decide where to send their students. So that's, their children. So that's a big deal.
Lieutenant Governor, we saw at the end of last week the Alabama State School Board has lowered the score for the literacy test, lowered the proficiency score, brought it down. They say the test is going to be a little harder, so they needed a lower score. Does that just reinforce the need for school choice?
Yeah, I think what school choice does is it's going to create competition. And competition is good, whether we're in the private sector, public sector, whatever it is, right? Whether we're talking about education or business, right? If you have competition, it's going to, people got to compete. They got to do better. And so I think, what this is going to do, it's going to make the public schools, have to really compete and make sure their teachers are performing to a level where they keep their students and where they keep stuff that, different type woke things that are being taught, keep that out of there. And it's going to make them dial in and really make sure that, hey, these students are getting taught and they're growing in their, every year in their test scores, and they're doing that by learning. Whereas right now, this isn't the case. There's a lot of great teachers out there that do a good job. But if your school system, if it doesn't perform, potentially you could lose students going to another school. That's going to certainly give them another motivation to make sure that, they get after it from that standpoint. And then it also allows, and it gets back to, this is the most important part. A parent knows their individual child better than anyone, and they know what type of learning environment they need. And this is going to allow them to do that. And, there might be some kids that need to go to a private school. Might be some kids that are better suited for homeschools. there might be some school, you know, kids that maybe they want to go to a public school, but they need a smaller public school, you know. And so, I mean, each child's different. There might be some that want to go to a really big school. You know, my mom went to Berry, which is now Hoover, you know, and it's a great school. And so, you know, but it ultimately boils down to the parent knows their child and can decide what's best for them, and that's so important.
Lieutenant Governor, we've talked to a couple of people in the last week, and I've talked to some legislators kind of just behind the scenes a bit. A lot of them are talking about the need to get a lottery or some type of gambling bill passed in this upcoming session. And I've been a little surprised at the number that have said we probably need that revenue to help fund full school choice because we have so many kids in private schools now. I think the number's around 80,000. That would all be eligible when we put something like this into effect. Do you think one is dependent on the other? Do you think it would be helpful to have both of those bills come through, or do you think it matters at all?
No, not at all. I don't think we need gambling to have school choice. I don't agree with that at all. I think it probably wise to phase it in so it's not as big a hit on the financial position of the ETF. Which the ETF, right, for those of y'all that don't, that's the Education Trust Fund, which funds our education system. And so, but if you look at other states, they've phased it in, Scott. And when you do that, you know, there's a way to do it from a, you know, fiscally responsible standpoint. But I certainly don't think you got to have gambling to have school choice. I mean, I don't agree with that.
One's not dependent on the other.
Correct.
We had Representative Danny Garrett on Friday, and as you know, he oversees the ETF on the House side. It sounded to me like these are the things he's already looking at. He mentioned he's looking at how other states do it, how they implement it, what are the results of the implementation. Are you aware of others that are kind of digging in now to put the groundwork together for this?
You know, I know there's a lot, and let me say this first. Chairman Garrett does a great job. I mean, he has been a great private sector member of Alabama's economy. In my opinion, he's one of the smartest fiscal guys, serving the legislature. We're lucky to have him serving as a budget chair. And I know he's diving into this, looking at it. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are looking at this issue, trying to, from different perspectives, right, trying to find out what's best for their district, which is what they're supposed to do. And that varies. You know, some areas don't have any private schools, right? It's just public schools. So they're trying to find out, okay, what can I do in this area? You know, they want to make sure that maybe their students could have public school choice. There's other areas where there is a need for private school or maybe a homeschool situation. And so they're looking at that, trying to figure out, okay, you know, what can I do to make this bill help my area? And so I think there's a lot of people. What I'm trying to do is look at it from a whole state standpoint and say, what can we do to make sure that if a child is born in Alabama, no matter where they're born, they can have, you know, the same educational opportunities or better than anybody else in the country? That's my goal. And I think this is certainly one of the tools that will help. But we also got to make sure people know, you know, this isn't going to solve all our problems. This will solve 10 or 15% maybe of our problems, but we still have a lot of other things, such as potentially getting rid of tenure, right? I think we need to do that in Alabama. There's other things we need to do in education as well, but this is certainly, in my opinion, going to be my top priority next session and that from an education standpoint.
One more quick question on the school choice. I'm going to just put you on the spot a little bit. Do you anticipate Representative Garrett carrying your bill in the House, or will you propose a bill?
You know, I'm going to support the issue and see kind of what bills are out there. And, you know, I'm going to support whichever piece of legislation has the best shot of becoming law.
Okay. Let's shift our attention to your other favorite subject lately. I noticed you tweet on it a lot when you're stuck in traffic on I-65. What is a realistic plan for I-65? Do we have to wait until we have a new governor, or is this something that you see being able to get started even now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing about 65 is we're going ahead and starting that now. I mean, I think, a few weeks ago there was announcement that, you know, this had already been kind of in the works a little bit on, you know, 65 expanding that. But I think, you know, my vision, and I think really the people of Alabama's vision, is to have a 65 six lane from the state line to Mobile. All right. So with that, you know, how do you get that done? That requires planning, it requires thinking ahead, and it also requires making sure we have enough money to draw down the federal match. And Usually on interstates, you're looking at an 80-20 or a 90-10 match from the feds. And so, and the 10 to 20% would be from the state. And, you know, one of my frustrations has been talking about on the West Alabama corridor, not that it's not a good project, not that it doesn't have merit, is that that is 100% state funded, which I think is foolish. And, you know, there's a way for that project to qualify for federal funds. And, you know, we're in that situation, we're not using any federal funds. And so I just think that's foolish. I think a state like Alabama, you know, we don't have unlimited resources. We've got to make sure we prioritize our ALDOT funding to where we can do that. And so, you know, that's why I want to make sure that we spread it out across the state, but also that 65 is a priority. And it's going to take us 10 to 15 years to chip away and get that done, but I think we can certainly get it done.
And I want to point out to our listeners who may not be aware of this, you haven't sat in Montgomery and taken pot shots at the western route that's being discussed, the Highway 43. You went to Thomasville. You met with the locals, and you sat down and discussed the issue with them, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And I think certainly, you know, that project, like a lot of areas in our state, you know, it has validity, and I think it's a good project. My argument is why do we want to spend $1.3 billion, maybe more, because some people say that project's going to cost even more than that, of state money with no federal match, when we could potentially wait a little bit longer on that project, draw down federal money, and then that frees up money to do other stuff such as 65, do stuff such as 85, I mean, all over, right? I mean, you know, right. No matter where you're at in the state, there's needs. And so I really think we've got to be wise in how we utilize our state dollars to draw down federal match so we can, you know, have more asphalt going down, which is what everybody wants.
And I can tell you, as someone who grew up in Tuscaloosa, spent 40 years of my life there, I see the value of a Western bypass. It doesn't take much imagination for me to understand how that actually could be a big help to the state, may even help relieve a little of the Western inbound traffic from ever getting to 65. But when I look at the funding mechanism, I can't get on board with that. I don't see our state having that kind of money laying around to put into one highway. What would this do to the gas tax? What kind of bond issue would it require to do Highway 43, and what would it do to the gas tax?
Yeah, I mean, it would be problematic, because when you look at the amount of money you'd have to so first, they're talking about, you know, the trying to find the exact estimates, what they're trying right now. Numbers have been thrown out around 1.3. Could be higher as construction costs continue to go up over time. And this project will be, you know, done. Obviously, it's not going to be done in the next year, but it's going to take a while. So with that, I would imagine costs to go up. And then when you're looking at percent of the, you know, gas tax revenue, I mean, you're looking at maybe $100 million bond payment a year for this, which is a lot for Alabama. So we're going to borrow this money, not draw down any federal money. And I think that's just, you know, it doesn't matter which part of the state you're talking about. I just don't think that's a wise use of our dollars. And I think people elected me to run government like business and be a good steward of our resources. And I just don't think in this instance it is. So I mean, what I'm saying is, hey, let's do the project. Let's find federal programs. I've been told, and trying to find out if this is accurate, but for some people who are pretty knowledgeable, that project down there could potentially qualify in some areas for 100% funding for part of it from the feds.
Wow.
And if that's the case, you know, let's go get that money and let the feds pay for that road.
If that's potentially doable, I mean, 100% matches, even for sections of it, we would be negligent to move forward right now and pay for all of it, wouldn't we?
Correct. And I think that's what I'm trying to say is let's, you know, in Alabama, I think one of the things we've got to do is get back to, and, you know, for so long, it's always about, you know, funding things based on politics, right? And I think what we really got to do is try to fund infrastructure based on priority and need and not just on politics. And I think for too long, what's happened is we fund infrastructure. Okay, well, you know, I want to do this project and it doesn't really matter, you know, about the fiscal standpoint. It's just, I want to get it done. I want to get it done this timeline. And, you know, we got to be a little bit wiser and a better steward of our resources, in my opinion. So that's all we're doing on that, speaking up, just trying to use common sense.
Lieutenant Governor, one of the things we asked several of our guests on Friday, and I'll ask you today, is we're still several months away from the next regular session of the legislature. What do you see, what issue do you see popping up this year that nobody's talking about right now?
You know, I think one of the things that you're going to see, and I mean, we're talking about a little bit, but I think one of the things that's certainly going to be a big conversation piece during the regular session is workforce development and what we can do on K-12 as well as community colleges. But I think that's certainly going to be one of the top priorities.
Well, Governor, we thank you for your time this morning. Always a privilege to have you on and a pleasure to hear your input on everything. So thank you for making time for us. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Jeff Poore and the Jeff Poore Radio Show here at FM Talk 106.5. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.